Hello, this is Roland Trujillo. Welcome. We're going to talk about stress today, ladies and gentlemen. Stress, post-traumatic stress, and other assorted symptoms that are accompanying what we call stress. And but more importantly, we're going to talk about what you can do to solve your stress issues. Let me begin by saying that all of our problems begin when we are separated from our own ground of being. It begins to happen for most of us when we're little kids. When you were a little child, you saw things and you knew things. Nobody had to teach you. For example, if you saw an injustice, maybe you and another child were there and one child was being treated better than you, the injustice. You didn't have to go to school to learn about it. You just saw it. Or if somebody was being very mean to yourself or to someone else, you saw that they were being mean and you saw something wrong with that. Nobody had to teach you about injustice. You didn't have to take a course in theology or in ethics or in philosophy. You just saw it. Worldly. Well, as the years went by, and that is your ground of being. That is your ground of being. When you're close to that ground of being, all the good things flow from that ground of being. When you remain in touch with it, in harmony with it, in rapport with it, then you grow and flow naturally. And you become what you were meant to be, what the good Lord meant you to be. But what happened is that you were emotionalized. You were emotional. Someone on the outside tugged on your heartstrings, or most likely they made you angry, and you started to become externalized in that way. And then, to make matters worse, you eventually, when people were mean or cruel or unfair, or they rejected you, or, you know, all the negative things you can think of that might possibly be done to someone, it made you resentful. And when you became resentful, then that is even worse, because resentment is like a little tiny bit of hate, and it cuts you off from love. Now remember earlier I said that we have a ground of being, and from this ground of being we can live and move and have our being and grow and flow naturally. And to the extent that you remain close to that ground of being, to your intuition, to what you know in your heart, and flow from it, well, then you become what you were meant to be. But as you become separated from it, through emotions first, then through resentment, hostility, then what happens is you start to become externalized, and you start to become in the image of the world around you that upset you. Okay? All right, so that's basically what happens to us. Now, some people, it has happened to just about everybody. And then another thing, we're pressured from the outside. There's school pressure, ambition pressure, sex pressure, drug pressure, religion pressure from all manner of sources, including, sad to say, our parents pressure us. And when we react and respond to the pressure, again, with resentment, often, then what happens? We become even more separated from our inner ground of being. And then we begin to respond to that pressure hypnotically. The ground by which we could have resisted the pressures, the ground from which we could have stood back and observed the pressures without reacting, without resenting, and without changing. Without changing for the worse, without changing to become more like the world and less like what we were meant to be. That ground is what we fall away from. And that is what you have to refine. You have to refine that ground of being. But what happens is, as I said, the more we react to the outside, the more we begin to change. You could sense it yourself when you were a kid. You sensed that you were changing when you hated your parents, for example. Or when you took drugs or things like that, you could sense that you were beginning to change, or promiscuous sex. you sensed something was lost, some innocence was lost, when you became angry or when you did something that was wrong. Afterwards, you sensed something had changed. But what happens is that when we change, then we look for approval and support for what we have changed into. See, when you were a little child and you were very close to your ground of being, then your parents' job was to represent on the outside, see, to stand for on the outside, or to validate on the outside what you knew in your heart on the inside. But alas, many parents don't do that very well. And if they had validated what you knew in your heart, then that would have been its own support. You see what I mean? In other words, truth is self-evident. And when you're healthy, you just feel healthy. It's only when you become sick that you think back and realize how nice it was to be healthy. You see what I mean? So when you were close to your own ground of being, well, you had everything right there. You had everything from which you could have become what you were meant to be. But when you lost it, then you didn't know how to get it back. But you did know that you had changed, and you felt guilty before conscience. You felt guilty before this ground of being, so you looked for approval and assurance and reassurance from the ones that had actually changed you. So you looked for assurance from parents who may have pressured you, from teachers who pressured you, from the group that pressured you. See? You looked for approval and reassurance. So before long, you became socialized, undoubtedly, and you began to hang around with other kids that were just like you. They too had been pressured out of their own inner ground of good, and they too needed reassurance. So you all clung together, and you took drugs together, and you smoked together, and you drank together, and you had sex together, and you supported each other. See? But the way back is to start to give up, as it were, to give up the worldly supports and begin to look again for the support from your creator. See, God is your creator. He's the one that, through your ground of being, makes you aware of truth and makes you aware of things intuitively, wordlessly. It's his light within, see? And so you have to find your way back to him. But you can't find him on the outside. You know, you can hear about God, you can hear about religion, you can hear about many wonderful things. It's like hearing about the sun. You know, you can read about the sun, but to experience the sun, the warmth of the sun on a beautiful warm afternoon, to lay in the grass and feel the warmth of the sun is the most wonderful thing. Well, that's what you need. You need to experience God. But right now what you experience is conflict with God, which we call conscience. You experience conflict, God, see, and you rush for approval and support from people on the outside, or you look to drugs to support you, to pills to support you, to alcohol to support you, to marijuana to support you, to all your distractions and your music. See, your music loves you just as you are. Your drugs love you just as you are. Your marijuana, your friends love you just the way you are. But the way you are is the way you've been recreated, not the self that you're originally meant to be. So now perhaps you can see why we have so much conflict, why we feel uneasy, why we feel anxiety. They used to call it free-floating anxiety. Anxiety is guilt in its most least recognizable form. And guilt is for what? For being separate from our inner ground of being. Guilt for looking for support from others instead of looking to God. You see what I mean? Guilt for copping out, for giving in to the pressure, and then looking for reassurance. See? Now let's take a moment to talk about trauma. I have already been talking about trauma. Perhaps you noticed that I used the word change a lot. I said we change. When we respond to the outside and we fall away from our inner ground, we fall away from love, we fall away from wordlessly knowing things in the light of truth, and we begin responding and reacting emotionally and hypnotically to pressures, people, places, things on the outside. You see? And that is actually trauma. That's trauma. So when you're a teenager and you take drugs or have promiscuous sex in the morning after the night before, you feel something has changed. You sense that you've lost your innocence. Well, that's trauma. See? It's change. You get a nice young person that walks into a corporate office, a nice innocent young person that's 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. They walk into a corporate office, and 10 years later, you don't even recognize them. You don't even recognize them as being the same person anymore. Something has happened. They've changed. See? Well, so now you know what trauma is. So now, in the light of what I have just said, now you can see why situations like trauma-producing situations, like some kind of a bad inner-city gang environment or a horrible school with violence and lack of supervision and so forth, crowded daycare with, you know, dozens and dozens of out-of-control kids in it, or a theater of war where there is mayhem, confusion, betrayal, cruelty, violence, all kinds of awful things happening. See? Or some kind of a phony environment. Going into some organization or to be with some people who you think are going to be nice people and good people, and you find out that they're not. You find out there's cheating and lying, betrayal and cruelty and backstabbing and awful things happening. See? And then, of course, there's being robbed. That can be a trauma. Or being mugged or being raped. Being molested. You see? But now let's look at the principle. Let's look at the principle and see how the principle that we had talked to earlier about falling away. We said that we fall away from love through resentment, and we fall away from truth. See, by doing what we know in our heart and by responding to what we see on the what is pressured upon us on the outside. Well, rape is a form of pressure. Being robbed is a form of pressure. Being bullied is a form of pressure or intimidation. Being on the battlefield there are pressures there. You see, going to work for some organization where there's something, bad things happening, that's a pressure. See, there's just so many pressures. So what are the principles that protect you, that would protect you from being traumatized? The principles that would protect you from being traumatized are not resenting, not hating, and not doubting. See? In other words, just because you go to work somewhere, or you go to a theater of war, or you're in an inner city environment, or a gang environment, and there is mayhem, and cruelty, and betrayal, and violence, and awful things, meaningless violence, horrible things happening. It's possible to see those things, see, without hating the people. See the wrong. That doesn't mean you have to like it or accept it or pretend that it's nice. No, it's not nice. You don't have to accept it. You don't have to like it. You don't have to pretend not to see it. You see it, but you don't hate the people. Okay, that's principle number one. Number two, don't doubt. See, one of the things that happens is that when we doubt comes about in a couple of ways. One way doubt comes about is simply through emotion. We doubt through emotion. See, when you become all emotionalized, whether it's excitement, see, screaming and yelling at a ball game, getting too excited about something, wanting something too much, you know, a new car or clothes or whatever it might be, an education, or on the other hand, getting excited through reacting angrily towards something, that excitement, see, washes away reason, separates you from your inner ground and connects you to the outside. So you fall away from a closeness or rapport to your inner ground of good and inner truth by which you can see and know things when you become emotional. Well, that's one thing. That's why we need to calm down. The other way we doubt is when we begin to doubt truth and goodness and God's providence. We see people are mean and cruel, or we see them betray, and then we begin to have negative doubts. We resent them and we think, well, then there's no truth, there's no goodness. People are, you see what I mean? There's no God. See how those doubts creep in? Through the negative emotion of resentment and hostility, then the negative thoughts creep in. But just because someone else has betrayed someone doesn't mean that there isn't truth. See, how do you know that how do you know that betrayal is wrong? You can see that betrayal is wrong. You see it in the light of truth. And the very fact that you can see something wrong with betrayal, you can see something wrong with confusion, you can see something wrong with mayhem, you can see something wrong with deceit. See, the very fact that you can see something wrong with those proves that there is a truth and an inner light in which you can see and know that there's wrong with them, you see? So there in itself is proof that there is truth. And we know that God exists because we have a conscience. When we do something wrong, when we hate somebody, when we're cruel to somebody or mean to them, afterwards we feel bad. Well, that's your conscience. It's from God. And that way you know that God cares about people. He cares. He doesn't want you to hate them. He doesn't want you to resent them. He doesn't want you to be phony with them. You see? So now you know that he's good and that he cares about things. So you know there is truth and there is God. So now start trusting in that again. Okay? It doesn't mean that you still won't have doubt thoughts, but just learn to observe the doubt thoughts and let them pass. All right? All right. Well, this is a very nice little introduction to what will be our meditation. And I've the groundwork. Now you understand how we humans, all of us, come into a world where we are pressured from the outside and emotionalized. We fall away from our inner ground. See? And then when worse things happen, bigger traumatic things happen, those are simply bigger, more heavy-duty versions of the kind of falling of doubting what is right, doubting what is true, and resenting other people. See? So the antidote is what? The antidote is not to hate, not to resent. Okay? And the antidote is to not doubt. See? That's the antidote. And then another very, very important part of getting better is the meditation. The meditation is very important because it is a little technology that helps you to refine your inner ground of good, to refine that, to become still enough, and to get out of thinking, the squirrel cage of thinking and feeling, the squirrel cage of imagination, to stand back from that and touch bases, get back in touch with your inner ground of good. Meditation helps you do that, and it helps you extend, the love, see, the light, the warmth that comes from that inner ground helps you extend it through your body, and it will begin to have a positive effect upon your emotions, upon your thoughts, upon your mind, upon your body. All based on the very simple little meditation, which is a proper technique to get back to God. Now, let me say that there are many, many meditations, but this one is very special because it's very simple, and it includes God. A lot of meditations don't include God. See, they have a fatal flaw. They're another to find a peace apart from God. Look, when we smoke, when we drink, when we take marijuana, etc., etc., take pills, we're trying to find a peace apart from God. How much better it is to find God and then to have a peace with God and a peace from God. You see. Okay? And then other meditations, they may be well-intentioned, but they have visualization and things like that, which is more imagination. But what we need is less imagination. You've been lost in your imagination. That's where all those dark thoughts arise. The imagination comes from the world, from the outside, from the pressures, see? Your rabid thoughts and emotions and all those negative thoughts, voices that talk to you and so on, they all come from the outside, always trying to upset you and scare you and make you doubt and so on and mislead you. You need to be able to stand back and simply observe those. Meditation helps you to do that. Okay? So the meditation is very, 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 very simple, very good, very important. And we will now practice the little introductory version of the meditation to get you started. You may begin to practice the meditation when you're ready. If you turn your MP3 player or your CD player, the computer audio off for a moment, that's fine, and come back to it when you would like to, or you may continue with it right now. We're going to do the meditation. What I'd like you to do is to sit in a chair. If you can find just a regular chair that doesn't have arms on it, one where you can have your arms can hang by your side, that would be nice. If you can't find that, then you can sit on any kind of a chair or sofa. It doesn't matter. But if you can find a chair without arms where you can have your right hand hanging by your side, that would be nice, at least for starters. And what I'd like you to do is to get in that chair and put your right hand by your side. It's also okay to put your hands in your lap. That's fine, if you like. But if you can, put your right hand by your side, hanging gently by your side. Close your eyes and become aware of your hand. Become aware of your right hand hanging by your side. Just notice your hand very, very gently. Very gently, just notice that your hand exists. Just notice your hand. One way of noticing your hand that's helpful is to notice one finger at a time. For example, notice your thumb. Just very delicately direct your attention to your thumb. Very gently, just notice your thumb exists. Feel your thumb. Feel your thumb. It becomes a little bit tingly, a little tingly warm when you pay attention to it. Now notice your first finger. Notice your first finger, a little bit tingly warm. Notice your second finger. Notice your third finger. Notice your fourth finger. Notice your thumb. As you notice your fingers, and we're noticing them one finger at a time, just to help anchor us in the present, just to help us remain aware of our hand. If your mind wanders away, something else, that's all right. Just very gently bring your attention back to your hand. Now, while you're aware of your hand, as your hand becomes a little bit tingly warm, if it doesn't feel warm, that's okay. If it doesn't feel a little bit tingly, that's okay too. Doesn't matter. It will. Eventually it will. Maybe now, maybe soon, maybe later. Just notice your hand becoming a little tingly warm when it does. Now also with your eyes closed, I'd like you to notice a spot in the middle of your forehead, about an inch above the brow line, right in the middle of your forehead, about an inch above your eyebrows. In fact, you can even take your other hand if you like. Take your left hand, very delicately touch the spot in the middle of your forehead, about an inch above your eyebrows, right in the middle of your forehead. All right, just notice that spot. And now, as you notice that spot, as if you were looking right through your forehead with your mind's eye, as if you were sitting in a cave and you were looking right out through the front of the cave, right through your front of your forehead, looking out into space. And you will see that it's not completely dark. It's not completely pitch black. There's some kind of little patterns of light there, very delicate patterns. Very, very delicate. Okay, now continue looking out through the middle of your forehead with your mind's eye. Just be aware of the spot in the middle of your forehead, and as if you were looking through the middle of your forehead, and also at the same time be aware of your hand. Notice your hand hanging by your right side. Is a little bit tingly, a little bit warm. At the same time, you're looking through the middle of your forehead with your mind's eye. Now, as you're looking through the middle of your forehead, you see the little patterns of light, very delicate little patterns of light, and you're aware of your hand, nice and cozy, warm. You can spread the feeling of warm, cozy, a quiet, peaceful, warm, cozy through your whole body if you like. You can become aware of your hand, of your toes, of your feet, of your other hand, your whole body warm. And that warmth that very delicate, peaceful warmth is actually God's love. And the little pattern of light, that's actually the light from God, which illuminates our mind and our being. But you've fallen away. The way you fell away from that, maybe when you were a little child, you can remember now. Maybe you remember you saw the little bit of light when you were a little child. But as the years went by, you became emotionalized, and you were pressured by people on the outside. You became upset, and gradually you lost touch with it. And then you began to get lost in your imagination and thoughts. See, that's where you've been lost ever since. And then as we fail on the outside, in other words, when we become resentful and we become upset with people and so on, then we retreat into our imagination and hide. No more now. Now you must learn to observe those thoughts without getting lost in them. So now, as you are seeing your meditation, as you are aware of your hand hanging by your side, warm and tingly, as you are aware of also, if you like, your other hand, both hands, or your feet, or your body, and with your eyes closed, you're aware of the spot in the middle of your forehead and little particles of light, what will happen is that thoughts will make their approach from time to time. All of a sudden, you'll start thinking about something that you have to do or something that you did. The thought will make its approach, and it will seek to put itself between you and the awareness of your hand and of the delicate pattern of light. And all you need do is notice the thought. Just observe it, stand back and observe it, and it will dissolve away. And you'll be back seeing your hand again in your middle of your forehead. Then another thought may make its approach. Something you did, something that happened, somewhere you need to go, something somebody said. Whatever it might be, it'll make its approach, and it might even succeed in carrying you away for a few seconds or a minute or even more. It might carry you away, but then all of a sudden you become aware that you were carried away. All of a sudden you become aware that you were lost in the thought, and then that brings you right back to the present again, and the thought goes away. It dissolves when you become aware of it. And that's the meditation exercise. Practice this exercise first thing in the morning when you get up. Go find a quiet place where you can sit and practice it, and practice it again at noon, and practice it again for 5 or 10 minutes in the evening. 5 minutes or 5 or 10 minutes, morning, noon, and evening. And at odd moments during the day, if you have a few moments, you're sitting on a bus, or you're sitting in a waiting room, or you're at your desk, and you have a couple of minutes, or even 1 minute, or a few seconds, you can practice this little meditation. It's a centering exercise. It centers you. It restores you to wholeness. It restores you to dignity. It restores you to yourself. Then when you go out into the world, the values that you downloaded from the light, see, those values will then be there, and they will start to have a very positive effect on your thoughts and your life, and they will extend into your life and improve your life in many ways. And not only that, but it will help you to be more calm as you go out into the world. You'll be calmer. Okay? Now, the other thing that I wanted to mention is that during the process, or during the time that we have been separated from this inner light, and as I'm speaking, please continue to be aware of your hand or your hands as they're warm and tingly. And continue to be aware of the spot in the middle of your forehead. During the time that you've been separated from your inner ground of good through being upset and becoming resentful and getting lost in the world, during that time, things have gone wrong with your health, with your relationships. Many things have gone wrong. Now, as you reestablish your rapport with your inner ground of good from God, it will begin to have a positive effect upon your being. And you will notice, you begin to notice that have gone wrong, but you begin to see them in a new light. You begin to see them in a new light so that you will begin to have some understanding as to how it happened, how they went wrong, how your relationships went wrong, or how what things you may have done, mistakes you may have made that contributed to the issues that you now have. So it'll add a layer of understanding. And not only that, but the light itself will have a positive effect. It will have a positive effect upon your, upon everything. It'll have a positive effect upon everything. And some habits which you may have had, for example, you may have had a habit of smoking, for example. All of a sudden, one day, you may just notice that smoking will give you up. But it's very important as you start to become aware, after you begin to practice your meditation, that you stand back and observe things. Don't allow your ego to jump into the fray and start trying to make things happen. Don't be upset by what you see. Don't resent what you see. Don't even try to figure out what you see. Don't try to change what you see. Just become aware. Let awareness, see, let this new awareness begin to have a nice effect upon everything. See? And the other thing is it will also help you to start using your common sense again. See? For example, you might see that you have some issue that you need help with. You need help from somebody. See? From a doctor or from an attorney or from somebody. And you will see in your common sense, you'll begin to see that you do need help with it. In the past, you may have tried to hide it. See? Or you may have gone to the wrong people. Now you'll begin to have more common sense again. You'll begin to see, you'll be able to find the person that can help you. See? And if you don't need help, you'll see that you don't need help. If you do need help, you'll see that you need help. Your common sense will show you, and then you'll find the right doctor, the right attorney, the right person that can help you. Okay? All right. Now, the other thing is, as you're practicing your exercise, as you're aware of the spot in the middle of your forehead, and you see the little particles of light, and as you notice your hands nice and warm and tingly, you will notice noises. For example, a bird outside, or a car going by, or somebody's radio blaring somewhere. There will be some noises here and there. Don't resent those noises. In fact, if there is a noise, you can give your attention to it. You can notice it. And it'll help anchor you in the present. See, the problem we have now is we tend to drift away into the ersatz reality of our daydreams and fantasies, see, which later become nightmares. So now when you hear the bird singing or the car going by, see, the little noises can help anchor you in the present. Okay? It's a very beautiful thing. If you wake up during the night feeling pressure, you can also meditate a little bit. And it'll be helpful to you. Well, perhaps then open your eyes and stretch and get ready to go forth and enjoy the beautiful day. And I will now make an end to this recording.